Sunday, July 14th, 2024. Let us be still. I am aware of the pictures passing before me of a divided nation, of a divided world, really, and I am aware of a oneness inside. I am aware of a oneness behind all of these pictures. I can feel it. I can sense it, yes. I sense your presence, the presence of oneness, one spirit, one life, one mind, one presence. Let us be still and rest in oneness. Now, as I studied this week's chapter in The Art of Spiritual Healing, the chapter called God is Our Destiny, chapter 12, I had a glimpse. I glimpsed the truth in the consciousness behind this chapter. The consciousness that is behind you. The consciousness that is behind me. I caught a glimpse. I felt it, what it is trying to say. And I will make an attempt to give that to you today. Father, speak. Reveal yourself within all those who are listening. It begins like this. Spirit is forever in operation, drawing onto us our own. Day by day, the Father gives us the work of each day. And with that work always comes the recompense and reward. Most of us would perhaps agree that the majority of the problems besetting us have to do with regrets for the past or fears of the future. One of my spiritual teachers, the very first one, said to me, Christ is crucified between the past and the future. And so stretching back into the past and forward into some imagined future, we are crucifying the Christ. We are X-ing it out. So Joel says, usually at this present moment, we are all right. If we could live in this moment, in this minute, content to know that the power of God is in operation and be willing to let that continue, there would be no concern about the past and very little about the future. In one way or another, we would know day by day what to do. Now, there are various principles, infinite way principles, in this chapter. Although at first glance it's short, very short. 6.5 pages. The last chapter was, I don't know, somewhere around 11. So 6.5 pages seems rather short. Yet, if you have your listening ear, your attentive ear, your inner ear open, today you will hear several infinite wave principles. Principles which must be practiced. And so the first one there is, in this minute, as you let that inner oneness take over, and you let go and rest in that inner oneness, then Christ is risen. Christ is not on that cross. Christ is not crucified. That oneness is in operation. And that's the first principle. The next principle, which I learned through bitter, well, agony, really, I give to you now. When you can find something in your work that is in the nature of service to be performed, never again will your business be a burden, and never will it be a failure. When you have found something into which you can put your heart and soul, into which you can pour out some measure of service, that's twice, even if in the beginning it is the most menial of labors, if you can find that the doing of your work is of some service, that's three, to somebody, it will lead you on to higher forms of activity. Now, when my first wife left me, which she had every right to do, I, of course, fell apart. You see, I wasn't dependent on God. I wasn't relying on God. I was dependent on her. And when that was gone, there was a big empty hole inside of me. And my first spiritual teacher said, look, most everybody would get out of this problem by finding another woman. But he said, if you do that, you'll be just as dependent on the next one, because this isn't love that's causing all this pain. This is dependency. He said, you need to, the only way to get over this is to transfer your feelings to God. Well, I said, how do you do that? You know, you go home at night and you crawl into a big king-sized bed and you're the only one there. How do you transfer your feelings to God? You get up in the morning and you make some coffee and sit down to drink it. Maybe you're having something to eat at your kitchen table. and you're the only one there. The house is empty. How do you transfer your feelings to God? You go into the baby's room and there's nothing there. The crib is gone. There's just dust bunnies in the corner. Blue walls. Empty room. How do you transfer your feelings to God? I didn't know how to do that. But I knew that I had to find out. And so one day as I was sitting there, I picked up The Art of Meditation, and there was a chapter in that book called For Love is of God. And in the reading of that chapter, I came upon a line that said something like, to those who live in conscious communion with God, the promise is literally kept. Son, all that I have is thine. And it suggested that we love God inside of everyone and everything, because God is inside of everyone and everything. That oneness that we started with. That oneness was inside of and is inside of the person who pulled the trigger yesterday. But there was no awareness of it. Perhaps there is now. That oneness, it always comes back to that oneness, to God. And so as I sat there with The Art of Meditation in my lap, I made a decision. I thought to myself, if I had a brand new girlfriend, what would it be like? I would call her up and I would say, honey, what would you like to do today? And if she said, well, you know, I haven't been to the beach in a long time, I would grab a blanket, a picnic basket, and fill it with some food, swing by her house, pick her up, and we'd drive to the beach. Because that's what honey wants to do today. And so I thought, now how do I transfer that to God? And I made the decision. Each day I will get up and I will say, beloved, what would you like to do today? And if something is revealed, we'll do it. Well, this was a Saturday and I woke up and there was nothing to do. I didn't get any messages, no one called, there was no letters, the house was empty, and I felt that god-awful pain of aloneness. And when I said to God, what would you like to do today, I was sitting in the kitchen at the kitchen table, and I looked over at the sink, and there was a pile of dishes. And so I said out loud, I could talk out loud because I was living by myself. I said, God, I'm going to do those dishes for you. Service. That's what he's talking about in this chapter, service. And even with the most menial chore. So I walked over to the sink and I started doing the dishes, but with one difference. I did them for God. And I did my very best, like the little drummer boy. I did the dishes for him, for it. For oneness. And I talked out loud, hey God, look at this one. I can see myself in the dish. and I put it down in the dish drainer, pick up the next one. Here you go, God. This is the best I can do. This glass looks terrific. And I put it down, picked up the next one. Ah, here's a coffee cup. Let me get that coffee off of there. Ah, it's clean now. I'll rinse it out, put it in the dish drainer. There you go, God. I did every single dish for God. For God. And eventually, I got through with the dishes. I looked around, what else? Oh yes, make the bed. I made the bed the very best I could for God. Oh, you couldn't bounce a quarter off of it, but it looked nice, and it was the best I could do. Then I looked around, and oh, look, my wandering Jew in the living room. I felt the dirt, oh, it feels dry, so I went and I got some water. And then it occurred to me, God is inside of everyone and everything, and so I gave God a drink. Here you go, Father, I said out loud, and I poured some water in there. Just then my cat came to the back door. My cat was a black cat named Sufi. Sufi came to the back door, and I let him in. And it occurred to me, God is inside of everyone and everything, even Sufi. And so I said, Father, are you hungry? And I pet Sufi, and Sufi rubbed on my legs and purred. And I went and got a can of cat food, and I opened it and gave half of it to Sufi. Here you go, Father. Made sure there was water in his bowl. I served God by serving Sufi. And then that being done, what else would you like to do, Father? And just then there was a knock at the door. I went over to the door and I opened it, and there was Ray, my good friend Ray. Ray stopped by to see how I was doing. He was worried about me. He knew what was happening. And I couldn't say, hi, Father, how are you? Well, I could, but I didn't. I said, Ray, would you like a cup of coffee? And I poured him a cup, and inside of myself, I said, Father, how may I best be of service? And there's that word again, service. And although Ray was expecting to talk about my problem, we ended up talking about something that was bothering him. How can I best be of service, Father? And I listened. Listening is sometimes being of service. And so my days went like that, day after day. And one evening, I had just finished reading a chapter in Practicing the Presence. I put the book down. I closed my eyes to have a meditation. Now remember, up until this point, I was so lonely that sometimes I'd cry. Sometimes I'd get mad and yell. But most of the time I'd say, Father, how can I be of service? What can I do for you? And so as I sat there with the book on the arm of my chair and my hands in my lap, I closed my eyes. And I meditated on this oneness that we started with. This oneness that's behind all things and in all things. This oneness we call God. And as I sat there, almost resting in this oneness, suddenly I felt a presence with me there in the room. And it touched me on the side of the face. It was a tingling sensation. And with it came a sense of peace. Everything is all right. And I knew that presence is my Father. That presence is the oneness that I was feeling. And over the next 30 days, by concentrating on that presence, by serving that presence, by serving you and the animals and plants and people I saw each day, I ended up head over heels in love with the oneness, the presence, the Father, God. Now, when I went to work during the work week, I took the same principles with me. I sat there one day looking at what I was working on, which we were building digital magnetic tape drives for computer systems, reel-to-reel tapes. And they usually gave me, 10 to 15 to complete each week. And there was a lot of work, including some soldering and other things, to put these tape decks together. And then the inspector would come over and look at them. And when she found something wrong, she'd point it out and I'd have to fix it. If the soldering had too much or too little, she would let me know. If there was a screw that was stripped or almost stripped, she would show me. I couldn't get away with anything, although I wasn't trying. Well, as I sat there looking at the current machine I was working on, a thought occurred to me. How can I best be of service to this company? And I thought, well, just for fun, let's see how many of these I can get done this week. And so the 15 machines that normally took a week, in 3 days, I had all 15 done and all 15 passed inspection. The plant manager came out and said, good job. But they weren't sure what to do with me. So they put me on another person's line to help them with their machines. You see, I could be of service. I could help the company. I could serve God through the company. These principles work if you're working them. It doesn't matter when or to who you're being of service, if your motivation is to serve God, as mine was. And so I went back to this first spiritual teacher and I said, this is fantastic. I love God with all my heart, mind, and soul. And when I started, I was not sure that I wasn't fooling myself. But now I know. God is real. God's inside of everyone and everything. And I love God. And he said, you know, I can tell. He asked me if I'd go to a Unity church with him and give a talk. Which I said yes, because how can I best be of service? It was put in front of me to do. So yes, I'll do it. And I did it. So this word service here, if you can find that the doing of your work is some service to somebody, it will lead you on to higher forms of activity. If your consciousness is filled with service, that's four times, I think, and cooperation, then your activity, regardless of its nature, will express the service and cooperation in your consciousness. That's five. And it will be a steadily expanding and unfolding activity. And that's what happened to me. I lived this. The infinity, which is God, constitutes the infinity of my being. It is not that I of my own self am infinite. Catch that. It's not I of my own self am infinite. It is because there is only one infinity, oneness. And that is God. And since God is my individual being, my individual being embraces infinity. In that infinity, all is included. Nothing can be added to me, and nothing can be taken from me. No, because that oneness behind you, that oneness is you. That's your real identity. And that's the identity I serve. So, I must tell you, this period was the happiest period I have ever lived on Earth. Just to devote myself 100%. Father, how may I best be of service? See, I wasn't thinking of me or my needs. I wasn't thinking of health or supply or companionship. I was thinking of one thing and one thing only. How may I best be of service to this oneness I feel in my meditation? So that's the second principle, service. What could hinder you from experiencing that infinity? Only the attempt to get something, to desire something, or to believe that you have earned or deserved something. Close your eyes, fill yourself full of God. And then be a beholder and see what miraculous things God does through you. There is a spiritual demonstration for every child of God. And you are that child of God, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. What is the Spirit of God? That's this oneness. That's this presence. That Spirit of God which you feel. That inner movement which you feel. That voice which you hear. That intuitive feeling that you have. You say, Father, how may I best be of service? And you see someone trying to get out of a parking lot, and you stop and you wave them in. You are being of service to God through that experience. When a person seeks to reach a predetermined goal, such as an opportunity to go into some particular business or to change from one position to another, he holds himself on the wheel of human experience rather than opening himself to live by divine grace. Now, that's a pretty heavy statement. It was Buddha that brought us the wheel of life and karma, and getting free from the wheel of life, free from Maya. And Joel is saying here that when you desire a particular position, when you set your goals on attaining a particular business, you are held on the wheel of life, the wheel of human existence. But when you don't do that, when you're resting in that oneness, when you are aiming toward being of service to that oneness, or allowing that oneness to be of service through you, then you are living by divine grace. He says on the next page, to desire anything or any person is to remain on the wheel of human existence. Now, isn't that what my first spiritual teacher was trying to tell me? You'll be just as dependent on the next one. This is not love. This is dependency. This is not grace. This is the wheel of human existence. If you had the realization of God's presence, you would have infinite good. But when you seek a demonstration of something other than the presence of God, you are merely trying to demonstrate limitation. And you will succeed in doing just that. If, however, you are living these principles of the infinite way, you will realize the infinite nature of life. Then you are not under the law. You are under grace, a way of life without limits. All right, so do you see the first two principles? One is living now in this minute, and one is the only motivation for everything you do is how may I best be of service. This sets you free from the human wheel of life into a life lived in grace, without limits. All right, so he says, the first time I ever gave a talk to a group in a metaphysical center, a woman came up to me with a list of 9 things she wanted and asked me to pray that she'd get them. 9 things she wanted and asked me to pray that she get them. When I quickly returned the list to her and said, "I'm sorry, not only would I not pray for these things for you, I do not even care particularly if you ever get them." Oh, Joel. She was very much surprised because she thought that was what truth was for. She thought God was to be used. Yes, I was taught that in the early days, before I ever picked up the art of meditation. I was taught we use truth to improve our supply. And here are the statements you work with, and this will improve your supply. Now that's using truth. And since I am the truth, that's attempting to use God, isn't it? It was a lot of years later before I learned this next lesson. The purpose of demonstration is the demonstration of Christ consciousness, which is divine grace and which nullifies all karmic law. It is a karmic law that man is condemned to earn his living by the sweat of his brow, as a punishment for past deeds. As long as he works for the sole purpose of earning a livelihood, he is under that karmic law. If you are beginning to glimpse what I am trying to say, and if you want to be released from the wheel of life and stop working for the purpose of making a living, you first break the karmic law, and then you will find that you will no longer have to work for a livelihood. Now, we're all talking about inflation and the cost of living, and we don't make enough and all that. And yet, here is this fellow who says, "I do not work for a living. I work for the joy of the work." Now, are you working for a living? Are you working so that you can pay the rent, buy groceries, buy gas, take a vacation? Well, Joel says you're stuck on the wheel of life. You're living by karma. But if you can find a way, go within yourself, feel that oneness, feel it, and ask, "How may I best be of service to you through the world, through individuals, through animal, mineral, and humans? How can I best be of service?" And then throw yourself in that work. And you will find joy. You will be set free from the wheel of karma. You will live by grace. Now, he says, "Let no reader misunderstand this. I am not saying you do not have to work. I am saying you do not have to work for a living. There is a vast difference. The closer you come to living by grace, the more you will work and the harder you will work. Only then it will not be working for a living. It will be working for the joy of expressing yourself." Everyone in the human picture is under karmic law, under the law of whatsoever A man soweth, that shall he also reap. Everyone. But anyone can break that law through the realization that he does not live by bread alone. He lives by grace, by every word of God. Now, this does not happen by reading these words. This does not happen by hearing a talk. This happens by taking the principle, okay, I'm not going to go to work and make a living. I'm going to do what that crazy Bill Skiles says, and I'm going to see how I can best be of service. You know, I used to work overtime on my own dime. I used to stay over to help the company get things out the door by the end of the month. And you know what happened? Not only was I full of joy, the company promoted me so often that I made a lot more than I did when I first got there. But I wasn't doing it for that. I was doing it because I was in love with God. You see? Same person, same factory, same work, new motivation. And so the motivation was within. And so what changed was within. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And I was living that principle. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This may be simple to do when the favors and all the good things of life are being showered upon you. But when they are seemingly withheld, are you able or as quick to say, thank you, Father? That too must be a part of your activity. You must acknowledge God in all your ways, not in some of them. Humanly, there are times when there seems to be failures. Even for these, thank God, because through your recognition of God, failure, too, may result in a higher good. Failure may prove a blessing if you have the vision to turn to the next thing, instead of staying in the rut where you have remained due to some temporary success. Acknowledge him in all your ways, whether it seems to be failure or success. Now, he told us the story of when he was working as a salesman and he was traveling to Europe and other places, and he was, I think he was selling fabrics. And he went into work one day, and another salesman there said, Joel, when are you going to wise up? You have had 36 calls today for healing, and not one for fabric. And to that, Joel states, he went down the road and opened a practice, a spiritual healing practice, and put out a shingle. So that was a failure, wasn't it? He's failing at selling what he has always worked with, fabrics. But because he was willing to let that go in order to see how he could best be of service, he was moved into the spiritual healing work. So he says to us, give up now, once and for all, the belief that you can succeed or that you can fail. You will never succeed. You will never fail. You will forever be that place in consciousness where God shines through. Now let's see if I can tell you what happened when I read that. First of all, within myself, I had an awakening. I became aware of this principle. I don't know if I can get it across. Go within, ask the Father to reveal itself, and let us see. I had always thought, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I had always thought that meant if you're driving to Kentucky Fried Chicken and you come to a four-way stop, if you are acknowledging God, he will nudge you whether to turn right or go straight ahead. If you've got a choice, you've applied for jobs and two of them want to hire you. If you are acknowledging God, you'll get direction on which one to pick. You see? I had it placed out here, and the principle is not out here. It's within. Within you. And so what does it mean when I look at it that way? Well, what came to me as I read this is, I am the light of the world. And of course, that light is that oneness that we started with. Oneness. This is why you can never be a success. And you can never be a failure, because it has nothing to do with you. This is the light shining. Acknowledge that light shining. In all thy ways, acknowledge that light is shining. Oneness is flowing. And then, that light will shine, appearing as your wealth, your health, your companionship, your universe. I am the light of the world. Let that light shine. The glory of your being is not the glory of your being. It is the glory of God's being. Do you see why the great masters of all time have revealed that humility is the beginning of wisdom? Humility is not self-deprecation. Humility is the realization of God's allness. It is not deprecating yourself, but on the contrary, it is understanding yourself as that which shows forth the full and complete light of God. The light of God is your light. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I am the instrument of your being, your light. There is but one good, one life. The Father within. And I am that place where the fullness of the glory of the Godhead shines through. It is not your understanding or ability that will ever help you or someone else, or anyone else. It is God's understanding and ability of which you permit yourself to be the avenue, just as the composer permits melodies to flow through him. So do you see the principle that I caught? Oh, it's not about me. I have no supply. I have no companionship. I have no health. I am the light of the world. I am shining. Oneness. Let oneness flow. And so in all thy ways, everywhere, in all of your affairs, practice this idea of the light shining. Acknowledge that light in all your ways, so that they're not your ways anymore. They're God's ways. The light shining. Service. This minute, the light shines. I hope you caught that. If not, go over it again and ask that the Father reveal itself. Because this is not an external principle, something you practice out there. This is an inner awareness, something you practice in here. And in all thy ways, practice in here. And he shall appear where you have been. And so he says, we are the instruments in the hands of God. We are the vehicles or the tools used by the Father to show forth his glory. The healthier and happier and the more prosperous we are, the greater witness we are. To what? To God's grace flowing through us. God's grace, that is really the source of everything. We are the witness to God's grace. And so, I am the light of the world. Oneness. And I bear witness to that light shining. If we always sought spiritual guidance in every activity of our experience, with no attempt to translate it into the human realm, we would be so spiritually fulfilled and illuminated that that illumination would lead us not only to our true spiritual teaching, but even to such mundane things as finding the right dress, the right car, the right apartment. In the scale of God, there is no difference in these things. Well, I have to confess, I have never been led to the right dress. Never have I been led to the right dress. But you could be. I am led to the right pants, the right shirt, the right tie. He says, God could not reveal itself as supply and leave out your right activity. All right, so what is he saying? He's talking about this third principle today. Let the light shine through you in all thy ways, everywhere. Acknowledge, I am the light. I, oneness within you. I am the light. How may I best be of service to that light? Father, let your light shine. I and the light are one. Often it seems that these do not appear simultaneously, your supply and your right activity. But this is because you have prayed amiss. You have prayed a divided prayer. Aha, another principle. Don't pray a divided prayer. What is a divided prayer? You are praying for things, or praying that Spirit reveal itself in certain directions, instead of praying that God reveal itself as light, as the fullness of light, the fullness of illumination, the fullness of truth. God's garment is whole, complete, and perfect. When God places the mantle about your shoulders, it includes your entire being. And so let that light shine. Acknowledge, I am the light of the world. And be still about it. And watch the miracles. Do not go to God and expect a healing. Now there's a big one. Do not go to God and expect a healing. Do not go to God and expect employment. Do not go to God and expect safety and security. Go to God expecting God. See, in all thy ways acknowledge the light. Even in your prayer life, even in your meditation, I'm going only for light. Go to God expecting to receive spiritual awareness of His presence. Watch how it then appears outwardly as the harmonies of your daily experience in simple little things like finding a parking place, a seat on an airplane, a room in a hotel. In simple things or in the very deepest experiences of your life, you will find completeness and perfection by seeking the Father in spirit and as spirit. So do you see how you divide your prayers? You come to God, which is this oneness, this light, and you expect a healing. You come to God, and you expect supply. He has told us hundreds of times, God has no supply to give. God is not withholding supply. But your conscious awareness of this presence, this light, this inner oneness, appears as supply. That's the marvel of the thing. That's the miracle. And so do not seek to divide the garment. Do not pray for health or wealth, safety or security, or peace on earth. Pray only that God reveal itself as truth, as light, as oneness. Pray for light, for truth, for wisdom, for illumination. Seek the whole garment. Seek truth, light, revelation, illumination. Worship Him as Spirit, and let the whole garment descend upon you and reveal itself as supply, as home, as joyous relationship, as right activity. And so that's the final principle in that chapter. Don't divide his garment. So, I hope you received what I received in that chapter. Now let us be still for a moment. Oneness is the light that I am. Be still and know I am the light. Acknowledge the light. Acknowledge I in everything and everyone within yourself. I am the light of the world. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I am the way. Take those principles, live with them this week. I tell you, they will open up a whole new universe. A new heaven and a new earth. Blessings, my dear friends. Blessings.